Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov. Today on CityCast Salt Lake, there is drama in our art world right now around representation and misrepresentation of artists and subjects of color, specifically at the local art gallery, Modern West Fine Art. So it's a good time to ask the question, how far have we come? One prominent Chicana artist in particular has really shaped the scene. Ruby Chacon is the founder of Salt Lake's Mestizo Institute of Culture and Arts, or MICA. Her colorful works can be found all around our city. And arts journalist Bianca Velasquez recently interviewed Chacon. She joins me to explore the artist's continuing legacy. Today's Thursday, November 16th, 2022. I'm Ali Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. So, Bianca, Ruby Chacon is one of Salt Lake's most, I don't know, everything, famous, beloved, respected artists. Can you tell us about her as if you're introducing a friend?
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Ruby is very special in the ways that she has transcended a lot of barriers that she's experienced here in Utah. But at the same time, she's a lot like a lot of our Latinx community members, you know, has had experiences with difficult upbringings, has had experiences with not seeing herself be reflected in community, in the community, the art community, or even in our academia here in Utah. So I would explain or describe Ruby as more someone that's a lot more relatable than you would expect. So it's a beautiful combination of someone you can really admire, really aspire to being, but also can feel a connection to.
Yeah. She told you in your interview, which you quoted in the piece, and I love this, that her art is a counter story. What do you think she means by that?
Well, I think oftentimes the voices or stories of Latinx and POC people are told for us, right? Hmm. You get media, you get television, you get the way people are portrayed in movies, et cetera. And there's not a lot of room or chance to tell your own and to say it. And Ruby's story is actually really compelling. She had a tragedy in her family that was portrayed in a way through media that really was painful, and it compounded her pain and, you know, made the experience much worse. And I feel like a lot of POC friends and community members, that's something that commonly happens, unfortunately. And so taking the space to tell your story through art not only creates that space, but also rewrites the script and helps break down these stereotypes and debunk them. And I think that's just important work.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the things that makes Ruby so legendary in Salt Lake is that she did more than just that in her actual work, in her art, but in the way she moved through Salt Lake's art world. You also said in the story that, like, that representation is more than just brown faces and white spaces, right? And Ruby, it seems like, really understood that, and it was important to her to carve out a space for, I don't know, like the business of art for people mm-hmm. of color, right?
That is a huge thing that I feel is overlooked oftentimes by people who are not POC, who put that art on a pedestal, but they don't necessarily create the pathways for artists to even get on that pedestal, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of resources that are missing for a lot of our community members. Like, how do you price your art? How do you defend your prices? How do you get canvases? How do you frame your things? These are a lot of things that, you know, without the right resources, you can't get to, you can't access it. In addition to Ruby and the work that she did with Mika, there are a lot of organizations that are starting to pop up, like Sister, for example, who creates events and also offers those resources for communities of color.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's surprising to me that just now that clicked for other people, not just, I mean, obviously it's our communities that are like, hey, these are the things that we need, so we're going to provide them for ourselves and for others. But it's surprising that that conversation hasn't really clicked in the grander conversation until recently. I'm not really seeing much of that being talked about. I'm just seeing, you know, white curators say, hey, I'm featuring this POC artist. Aren't we doing great? Aren't we?
Right.
Offering representation. So it's kind of that thoughtfulness and that experience that you hold yourself and that Ruby held herself and the people of Sister held themselves to really understand what the needs are and how to fulfill them.
If I say to you, I need to improve my posture, chances are you are groaning back at me, ugh, same. And if you're open to changing that, connect with Chandler at Embodied Patience. She teaches the Alexander Technique, an educational method for understanding our movement habits. The Alexander Technique has long been a favorite of stage actors and musicians, people with famously good posture, and now Chandler's practice makes it available to all Salt Lakers. I work at a desk, and I spent a decade sleeping on memory foam. My spine is doing its absolute best. And when I spent an hour with Chandler, I was surprised how easy it actually is to stand up straight, if you're doing it right. There was a weightlessness that I didn't see coming, and very gentle considerations made my arms feel longer and my head feel taller. Visit embodiedpatience.com to connect with Chandler and learn how to move with more ease, less pain, and more joy.
One of Ruby's most famous Salt Lake works is the Art in Transit murals. Why is this project so meaningful?
Well, I think this project was a great way for Ruby to communicate the meaning of many different voices and mediums in one mural. So this mural is displayed at the Jackson Euclid Station on 800 North Temple in Salt Lake City on the west side. And basically, when imagining this mural, you're just imagining a collection of characters that are representing the community. It's very colorful. It's very fluid. There's a lot of mariposas. There's a lot of monarch butterflies scattered throughout, kind of floating in between and weaving in and out of these characters, creating a connection between them, which is, I think, a really important message, especially because the monarch butterfly is representative of like change and immigration. And I think one part that really stood out to me about that mural was the homage and the reference to the indigenous community and many of the indigenous communities here in Utah. Mm-hmm. And she took the surveys from the community. This is something that she was explaining to me that is happening or has happened all over the country. But to her in this project, it was kind of something that was like new, mm-hmm. using this format of taking the surveys from people of the community and then translating that into visual art. And that is not just her taking her perception of what the community needs to express. It is literally hearing what the community needs to express and translating it through this visual art. And I felt like it was very beautiful that a lot of that communication was expression from our Indigenous communities here in Utah.
One of the things I really love about the Art in Transit project is that they decided that art should be in public transit, like art should be where people are, right? And I think that that legacy is so interesting in our city and specific to the West Side. Like that project is at the Euclid stop, the Jackson Euclid stop. And I've been thinking a lot about like, can public art fight gentrification? Are there moments where public art can enable gentrification? I'm curious what your thoughts are on this, because you write a lot about the Salt Lake art scene
very thoughtfully.
It depends who you're making the art for, right? This piece specifically, this mural, was curated to be on the West Side, so that and especially in a transit, public transit place, like you said. But then think about who is taking public transit in those areas. Salt Lake City Public Art Program had the intention to serve the people that are being represented in the piece. And Ruby, obviously, her intention was to also serve the people who would be experiencing that piece. If we are doing a piece representing, you know, the Latinx community, let's say, at a white-owned taco place, who is that serving? A part of the article that really hit home for both me and Ruby within the conversation was the importance of public art and how it does break those barriers between what fine art is and what, you know, people who can't access fine art can access. Yeah. And more public art in those areas, in areas in which you're not going to see a fancy gallery, is important because people deserve to access that art no matter what.
Well, I guess my last question for you is, like, within the legacy of Ruby Chacon, how much has Salt Lake's art world changed or adapted to include artists of color? What's next in this work?
Well, so, I mean, Ruby's been doing work, again, for decades, and Mika started a while back. And I was thinking about her work with Mika in creating that community space, and not only a space for people of color to hang their art at whatever point in their career that they are, but also creating an environment in which people can have conversations, where the conversations can build and become stronger, and these ideas of what we need and how we need to be represented and how we can grow can take root. I think about when she started that and how ahead of Utah in general she was. You know, it was not happening. And I've seen a lot of different groups branch off of that and try to do the same thing. And I think we're starting to emulate what other bigger cities have been doing for decades. So it's like we're behind, you know, and we're catching up. One other thing I feel is so important is that the more representation within these communities specifically, the more the world can understand that it's not just one story. It's not just one brown face and a white face. You know, you're not just a Latinx artist. You're an artist who is Latinx, you know?
Bianca, thank you so much for your time. I love reading your stories. Oh, I love your reporting on Salt Lake's growing art world. It makes me feel very in the know.
Oh, that makes me happy.
If you want to learn more about Ruby Chacon, I linked Bianca's piece in the show notes. And I previewed this in the intro, but if you aren't familiar with the drama surrounding Modern West Fine Art Gallery right now, here's the spark notes. Modern West Fine Art promoted the work of Billy Schenck, an artist that apparently people call the Andy Warhol of the West. Some people are amused by his pop art style depictions of the colonization of the West, but many people are not, including local indigenous artists who flagged the issue with the gallery a few months ago. The wake of that resistance has been pretty wild and includes the gallery manager quitting, iconic local artist Jorge Rojas being dropped from the gallery, and one Salt Lake Tribune reporter claiming it's why he lost his newspaper job. There's a piece detailing all of this in Southwest Contemporary magazine. And if you want to give it a Vanity Fair style read, I linked it in the show notes. That's all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Salt Lake, for naming us the best local podcast in the City Weekly. We love you. And we'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. Bye.